Me in Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1, as we have been looking at various comparisons through the book of Proverbs, it is a wisdom literature. It's very practical in a little different manner. The first 9 chapters, you can approach it as you typically would and go in verse by verse. But then as you get into the later chapters, you tend to break it up into small sections or topics. Tonight, while we're doing some in chapter number 1, we are continuing to look at a topic. As we're looking at those who have rejected the Lord or rejected His wisdom and instructions. And so we'll begin in Proverbs chapter number 1. But have you ever noticed how in our world we're obsessed with placing people in categories? We'll place them in categories perhaps such as different race, and maybe it's our body types, maybe it's our management styles. We have all kinds of different ways that we do stuff. There's even things that they'll look and say birth order matters, and they'll describe this is what a firstborn is like, this is what the last one is like. You know, we love to do it up, you know, Gavin's a firstborn, he fits, you know, so we do that stuff. Even Christians do this. I remember several years back, there was a book called 5 Love Languages. And I remember as Krista and I were starting to date, and she would say, Matt, this is what I am. And I remember at one time, that Krista's parents are here, they might find this funny, as we were just starting to date, she's like, hey, you know, I need you to be more like my dad. And I'm like, you want me to shave my head? What do you want me to do? And she's like, no. I'm like, you want me to do this? No. So she didn't mean that, but there was a type. She had certain things she was thinking of. She wanted certain characteristics. We have the 5 love languages. Or make it a little more modern. There's a thing that's going around called Enneagrams. Perhaps you've heard of it. I am not encouraging you ever to do an Enneagram. I think it comes out of a satanic background, and there's some issues with it. But we are obsessed as comparing ourselves to one another and figuring out where do we fit in. In the New Testament, believers are warned in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, that as we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise if we do so. It is not wise to do that. But yet, God seems in His Word to have, He has separated people into groups. Let me ask you a question. Here's a chance where you can answer. What are some characteristics or groups, should I say? What are some groups that God has signified or separated in Scripture for us? Can you think of any? All right, we have the Jewish people. They are a separated group. What would be the opposite then of the Jewish people? Gentiles. You guys are smart. You got this. All right, so we have Jews and Gentiles. Give me another one. Not of ethnic group. Give me another types of people, types of groups. All right, saved and unsaved, believers and unbelievers. And so you see that God has given us these type of groups. You can even look in the New Testament and you say, yes, we had the Jews, the Gentiles, but then there's another group that's called the church, all right, that is made up of Jews and Gentiles, but they are the church specifically, again, is believers. When we look at the spiritual condition of the world, God really does divide us up into 2 different groups, believers and unbelievers. That is the big characteristic we see. Those who have their faith placed in Christ alone for salvation, and those who are not believers, or they are those who do not have life, as we see in John 3:36. And these are the comparisons that count. And as we're in Proverbs, so we've been looking at a lot of comparisons that are made. It is a book that is written to those who are seeking wisdom. And how, if we are a follower of God, how we should be living. And sadly, not everybody receives the wisdom of God. Tonight, our key verse, we find in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. Let me see if I have that up here for us. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. And it says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Now there, instead of scoffers, yours might say scorners in your translation. But here we see three different groups of people. Can you recognize what are the three different groups of people that are mentioned in Proverbs 1:22? Somebody give me one of them. Simple ones, all right? So we have simple ones. You got that? And give me a second one. Scorners or scoffers, all right? And then there's a third one. What's the third one? Fools, all right? So you can see the ones we're looking at today, that we're going to compare them to the wise. The simple ones, the scoffers or scorners, and the fools. As we look at this book of Hebrews, we see, or not Hebrews, we look at the book of Proverbs. The name Proverbs actually means comparisons. It is the comparisons of different types of people or different types of characteristics. And so as we look at this in Proverbs 1:22, we're going to see a comparison of these three and comparing them to the wise. And so what we find out is the wise will avoid the characteristics of the simple, the scoffer, and the fool. As you can tell in this verse, this is not something that is to the scoffer, the simple, and the fool is not something you should aspire to be. So let's look at this carefully. We begin tonight by looking at the one that is described, the simple or the simple one. This term appears 14 times in the book of Proverbs. The title indicates of the simple ones. It's talking about an attitude, not a mental capacity, okay? So don't think it's saying they're not smart. That's not what it's saying. In some areas, if we would say, boy, they are a simple one, we're saying, they're really not that bright. Maybe they're a few bricks short of a load, or there's several different ones. You know what I mean. It's the idea, we typically say they're mentally inept, but that's not the case in Proverbs. The simple one in Proverbs is a person who is pliable. You can mold them, you can shape, you can change them, but not in a good way. It's simply they are a follower. There's a story told of two men who were in the Empire State Building as the fire burned from below. As the fire was burning, one of the men said, "I have a flashlight, and you can climb down the beam." His friend responded, "I'm not that dumb. You're going to turn the light off when I'm halfway down." Now, such a conversation never actually took place. It's just an illustration. But we know those who often, they seem overly impressed by those who are not all that helpful. It really doesn't do us a whole lot of good. That is what the simple one is. Consider with me, if you're in Proverbs chapter 1, we see as we begin that we are instructed or encouraged to find wisdom. Look with me in verses 1 through 6. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." The same thought continues in chapter number 2. Really, these two chapters go together, but look at chapter number 2, verses 3 through 6. It says, "Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." As we look here, there's an invitation to even the simple one to gain wisdom, to gain understanding. And as they've been offered this, what we're going to see is how do they respond? As we look at the simple, I'm sorry, I wasn't putting all my stuff up there for you. Let's understand the simple. The first thing we're going to find out about them is they lack understanding. As we are called to wisdom, they actually lack understanding. For that, we turn to Proverbs chapter number 9. Now, most of the verses I'll put up there, but I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 9. Look what it says in verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest place in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. As we look at this, you notice that last part of this passage. Here's what the simple one was instructed to do. It says, leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. The instruction is given because the simple one, he's found in a company, he's found in the influence of fools. He hasn't really determined what is the right pathway, where should I go? He hasn't yet arrived at a path of understanding. You can often look at this and say this would be like a typical teenager, all right? They've lacked that understanding they need, and they're following different voices. There's a story that was told, a true story, back in 1977, of a car filled with teens in Clarksburg, West Virginia. These teens, they had pulled out onto State Route 50. The teenage driver, they failed to look left before they took a right-handed turn. And they pulled into the path of a semi-truck, and all five teens lost their lives. One of the victims was a 15-year-old girl who didn't listen to the instructions of her parents. Her parents had told her not to go in there and instead to get on the school bus. Why? Her parents had understanding. They had wisdom to know it's not always the best to be riding with a bunch of teenagers. She was safer on the bus. That's the idea here. A simple one is one who they need somebody else to guide them. They need somebody to follow, but they don't know. They don't understand. They lack the understanding of which voice to listen to. And so the first thing we see is the simple lack understanding. Secondly, the simple, Proverbs tells us, they are gullible. I turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. I put it on the screen for us. Oh, no, I didn't. Proverbs 14, verse 15 is simple. It says, the simple believes everything. The simple believes everything. That's what we see there. Meaning the simple are very gullible. They're gonna fall prey easily to the talebearer's web. It's kind of like I love doing with my boys. Hey, gullible is written on the ceiling. And you know how many times all of a sudden they'll look, oh, Dad. Or your socks untied when they have nothing on their feet. And they'll look. That's the idea here. They believe everything you tell them. They'll believe a lying friend who says, these drugs won't hurt you. Everybody's doing this. They are gullible. Thirdly, they are susceptible to mischief. Now that would find in Proverbs chapter 7. We're not going to read through this whole passage, but it's really there's a sad picture painted here as there's a warning to a son against an adulteress. It shows a simple one who's going through the street and becomes victim of an immoral woman who is giving them an invitation. Proverbs 7:7 tells us that the simple one lacks understanding. Proverbs 7:21, we learn that the immoral woman will use her words to entice or to catch the simple ones. Sadly, in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, notice what it says. I'll read it. It says, all at once he follows her as an axe goes to the slaughter or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. You see, they're susceptible to mischief. They don't realize the harm that they are bringing on themselves. They are morally naive. They are weak to temptation. His response to wisdom is that he will ignore wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 12, There's a story, perhaps you're familiar with, a story of Rehoboam. He was the king of the son of King Solomon, the grandson of King David. If you know the story, as Solomon has died, Rehoboam, he comes into power, and what does he do? He seeks counsel of what he should do. And his father's counselors gave good advice, and his the younger ones, his friends, gave him bad advice. And what did he do? He followed the young ones to exert his authority to be over him. When the other counselors had told him to be kind and patient. You see, Rehoboam was a simple one. He listened to the wrong voices, and you know what happened? His kingdom was divided. That's the image we get here. And so as we understand the simple, we must ask the question, well, then how do you help the simple? What happens here? Well, the simple one can be made strong, or they can be headstrong, really, but intervention is necessary. We have to come with wisdom. And so here's a couple things that are offered for us. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4, the simple ones need to be offered hope. They need to be offered hope. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4, we've already read this, but it says to us, give prudence or subtlety to the simple. The word translated subtlety means wisdom. So give prudence or subtlety. So give wisdom to the simple. And the author of the book of Proverbs shows impatience with the simple, but he's offering them hope. All right, you need to give them wisdom. You need to share with them, letting them know there is hope for you to learn, to understand, to become wise. Also, the simple ones, they need to be surrounded by those who are consistent. Proverbs 21 and verse 11, it tells us, when a scoffer is punished, the simple become wise. You know, it's funny that often the oldest child receives more correction than the youngest child. Now, it's not always the case. Sometimes the second child also doesn't need as much correction as the first, but that wasn't true in my family. But in general, the younger ones learn from the older ones. I can already tell you, my wife and I, we've commented at times, boy, our oldest Gavin seemed to get disciplined way more than Liam. All right, well, why is that? Well, because the youngest child, they've learned. They can see what happens. They have a fear. They have seen the punishment the older sibling receives. And so there is this influence on them. As parents, there should be an influence on the simple ones. We need to surround children with those who will consistently teach them or impress on them. They can consistently learn from. That's the idea that we would look there. And so the simple ones, they need to be offered hope, but they also need to be surrounded by those who are consistent. As we consider being introduced to the simple one, we next need to look at, you remember the second one? The scoffer. We'll look at the scoffer, all right? The scoffer is spoken of 18 times in the book of Proverbs. Scoffer or scorner, if I know the King James says scorner, scoffer seems to mean to mock or ridicule what is right. It's the simple one is naive, and they do not understand wisdom's invitation, but the scoffer receives it and makes fun of it. They mock it. So let's understand the scoffer then. The first thing we see, that scoffers will not listen, Proverbs 13 and verse 1. And God's word says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And so they don't listen, all right? They've been given the benefit of instruction, but they choose not to hear it. Unlike the simple one who may have never been guidance or correction, or they don't know which voice to follow, the scoffers, once they've been given good advice or godly counsel, and they just don't want to hear it. So they choose not to listen. Scoffers, secondly, they do not desire wise counsel. Proverbs 15 and verse 12 is very clear here. It says, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. They don't seek or turn to the Bible for answers. You know, this is true. Maybe you've done it. Maybe you've heard of it. I would assume most of us are guilty at times. We know what the answer is if we would go to a source. We know what they would say, so what do? We don't go to them. I remember, you can liken it as a kid, I always knew if Dad would say no, so I'd go to Mom. Or I just wouldn't ask. That's the image that is being there. A scoffer is like, you know, I don't want to be corrected. I don't want to hear what they have to say, so I just won't go to them. We live in a culture that rejects authority. We live in a culture that they would rather rebel and not hear what others would say to them. Maybe you've seen these funny little pictures. It shows a picture back years ago where a child gets a bad grade, a bad report card. And there's the parent and the teacher and the kid with a bad report card. And the parents are looking down at the kid, explain this. And now they have the opposite picture. You have a teacher, you have the kids, and the bad report card, and the parents are looking at the teacher saying, explain this. You know what I mean. That's our culture we live in, where parents are going to side with the children rather than the teachers or the pastors or educators. We live in an age of scoffers, whereas they're being offered wisdom, they reject it instead. Thirdly, scoffers actually despise those who teach righteousness. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8 tells us, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. How many youth pastors, camp counselors, preachers have faced rejection from a scoffer? They don't want to hear. They don't want to be convicted. They despise those who would teach them righteousness. It's a sad state. So how do we help the scoffer? What truth does Proverbs give us in regards to the scoffer? This one's a little bit harder than the last one. The last one was more encouraging. This one is a little bit harder. In a culture of affirmation and approval, God's counsel to the scoffer actually seems a little harsh. Notice what it says. Proverbs 19:25, we are actually told that he is to be smitten. Listen to what God's word says. It says, strike a scoffer and the simple will learn prudence. There's a twofold purpose to the striking of a scoffer. One, it's beneficial to the scoffer, all right? It's beneficial to them. But the other one, it's beneficial to the simple one. If you remember, it says they need the consistency. They need to see the punishment for not listening. So the simple will learn from how the scoffer is treated. Often that's not what we see in our schools today, is it? Well, my kid's an angel. Don't ever tell him he was bad. Don't ever tell him he was wrong. 2 + 2, it can equal other things other than just 4. We need to strike him down, not harshly, but we need to say, you're wrong. This isn't right. The next one sounds a little harsher. He is to be expelled. Proverbs 22 and verse 10 actually says, drive out a scoffer and strife will go out and quarreling and abuse will cease. Now, there's some caution here, all right? To understand, but remember the scoffer, we have to biblically identify them. We have to say, okay, this is a scoffer, somebody who will not listen to wise counsel. They're rejecting it. They hate it. And so any sort of teaching that is righteous, then it's saying if they are not going to listen to biblical instruction, they're going to continue to sin, continue to do their own thing, then it's when we expel. Think about it in the church age. What do we see in church discipline? When in church discipline, how do you do it? First, you go one-to-one and you say, hey, this is unbiblical. You address them with the Bible, with love and with care. They still don't receive it. You go with what? A 2 or 3. Still don't receive it. It goes to the church, and the church goes to them. That's the same idea. It's saying, look, drive out a scoffer. You go to them, they're rejecting, they don't listen to God's word. So it's a consistent throughout Scripture. But third, let's look at one more. Time's our enemy. It says he is to be punished creatively. Proverbs 19:29 tells us condemnation is ready for scoffers. There are different ways that you can creatively punish. All right, there are different ways that this happens. It's not always corporal punishment. There can be verbal correction. Hey, what did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. All right, there was a verbal correction. It could be a loss of privilege. If you remember Moses, what did his sin? It cost him. He didn't get to go into the promised land. He lost a privilege. It could be repayment. In Exodus 22:4, the thief was required to restore double. It could also be a public example. Elders are said in 1 Timothy 2:20 that when an elder sins, he is to be rebuked before all. All right? Or it could be ostracism. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, we learn that it is wise to remove fellowship from the disobedient that they might be ashamed. So there are different ways to punish, different ways to handle a scoffer. The steps of rejection that are mentioned here has been moving. We started with the simple. Then we moved forward to the scorner or scoffer. But now we're going to go to the one that perhaps you've heard a lot about is the fool. The fool is actually the most common that we see in Scripture and even in Proverbs. It's spoken of over 70 times in the book of Proverbs. In essence, the fool is a person who is dedicated to evil. The fool has, they have an unabashed hatred of wisdom. They willfully rebel and they willfully choose to make evil choices. So as we understand the fool, we're going to go through these quickly. But the fool, first, he sins with confidence. He sins with confidence. Proverbs 14, verse 16 tells us, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is reckless and careless. You see, for those who love the law of God, those who live in the power of the Spirit of God, such a description is abhorrent. The Psalms 2, which we already read, it describes the path of the fool as one who has totally rejected God's authority. And so the first thing is the fool sins with confidence. They have no concern about others. They just do whatever they want. They live careless. Secondly, the fool is beyond correction. You're not going to be able to. Proverbs 17, verse 10 tells us, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. You ever wondered why the American prison system, they have a big issue. How many times somebody who goes into the prison system, they're released, and the numbers are astounding. How many of them end up right back in prison, often committing the same crime that got them there in the first place? It is a hardness of heart. They're not going to be corrected. They're not going to listen. And so they just reject anything morally good. Thirdly, the fool has no heart for wisdom. Proverbs 17 and verse 16. It reveals to us that the fool is not interested in the way of wisdom. When it says to us, why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? How many parents... we spend a great amount of money to place our kids in a correctional facility or a Christian school or some sort of program to change them. And we find that it doesn't work. I'm not saying it never works, so don't take me too far. But how many of the times does this happen? Why? I mean, the Proverbs tells us the fool has no heart for wisdom. They don't care. Fourthly, the fool's going to lie. Did I get that up there? Uh-oh. I didn't get the last one up there. I'm sorry. The fool will lie. Proverbs 10:18 tells us, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. The fool will lie in order to hide what's really going on. They hate the truth. Well, how do we help them? Well, the author of the book of Proverbs, it doesn't offer what appears positive, unfortunately. Two recommendations are made, though. The first one is that the fool is to be excluded from fellowship. Proverbs 13, verse 20 warns, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Well, what do we see even in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. You see, the righteous cannot continue to walk with fools and remain righteous. It's going to rub off. Our hearts will often, we tend to dismiss that what we believe to be an extreme. And so we forget that sin can spread and we can pick it up. And so here's the wise exclude from fellowship. Secondly, the fool is beyond counsel. We're not going to be able to counsel them. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 9, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he'll despise the good sense of your words." Now, don't get me wrong. We are responsible for sharing God's word. We have to be careful when we hear God's word. However, when the heart of a fool is too stubborn to hear the word, there's no apparent desire to be corrected, the word of God is going to bounce off of them. It's not going to penetrate. Well, what are we to do? In Matthew 7, 6, it tells us, "Neither cast ye your pearls before the swine." All right? Understand that it's a lost cause at times. They're not going to listen. They don't care. Well, finally tonight, as we looked at the fool, I want us then to consider the comparison. If we're not to be like the simple, the scoffer or scorner or the fool, instead, as the book of Proverbs tells us, we are to be like the wise. There, as we look through here, chapter 1 begins with instructions to a wise son. And if you go throughout it, this book is just full of wisdom. I like how many people, they'll say, you know what, every day I'm going to read a chapter of Proverbs. And how do they keep up with it? Well, they go, today, October 11th, I'm in the 11th chapter of Proverbs. They say, I need wisdom every day. And so they'll read a chapter of Proverbs. Some people do that. The wise son is portrayed as a lover of wisdom. But there are three characteristics, really, that we find of the wise. We begin back where we started in chapter number 1. He listens to wise counsel. Chapter number 1, we read the first 6 verses. Listen to verse 5. "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." And you see, what is it saying? The wise, they'll seek out counsel. They seek wisdom. They seek those who can give them direction. They'll seek those who say and teach them, this is what's going to harm you. This is what's going to be bad for you. As people who seek wisdom, we have to ask, do you have counselors in your life? Mentors? Do you have somebody that you can be accountable to? Somebody in your life who will help and speak truth to you in a practical way. And if you don't, you must ask, why not? Or I'm asking, why not? We all need wise counsel. And yes, even your pastor does. Oh, especially if I need help, I might call my father-in-law. I might call my dad. I'll call one of my former pastors at times. Pastor Hawkins, I've called probably the most for wise counsel. Secondly, he understands the fear of the Lord. For time's sake, I'm not going to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We already read verses 3 through 6. But again, it's talking about wise counsel here, but it's talking about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord speaks of a reverential awe. It describes the humble response that when you recognize the greatness of God, when you recognize who he is and that one day we all have to give an account to him. It's just like a child who will live carefully in order that they don't disappoint their parent or somebody they revere greatly. The wise will live carefully in reverential awe and appreciation of our great God. Thirdly, the wise understands or will own true riches. Proverbs 8 and verse 11, it tells us, wisdom is better than jewels. Wisdom is a greater treasure than anything we can get in this world. Any gold or jewels or riches, God has given us something that is so much better because it shows us and teaches us how to navigate life. And so as we finish this evening, God, He has given us these comparisons, these things that are very important for us to understand. Sadly, not everyone receives the wisdom of God. I go back to where we began. We began in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. That was our verse, our theme verse. And as we had looked at that, what did it say? It says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge?" The simple ones, they need to be offered consistent examples and hope. The scoffers are to be smitten, expelled, and creatively directed. And the fools are to be excluded from fellowship and godly counsel. May God help us to be wise and raise young people in the next generation to seek wisdom. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the comparisons, Lord, so we can see the folly of our ways if we are not in your word, if we do not seek your wisdom. So Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to consider your ways, your word, and help us to have an influence on those in our lives. So thank you for the study tonight, Lord, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you give me a moment here, we're going to